Hey, buddy.
Julian, I came through, buddy. Where's Bubbles?
He's at the vet. Don't tell me you got tickets.
I got better than tickets. Check this out.
Ricky. Ricky, this, you're from Rush.
Yeah, it's Alex Lyson. Alex, this is Gord Downey. This is Alex. Hey, play I Like the Rock.
That's April Wine.
We'll play that Diane Sawyer song. Just fucking play something. That's why you're here.
Ricky.
A Monday warrior, mean stride. Today's Tom Sawyer, mean pride.
It's Sunday, November 9th, 2014, and this is Eric and Ted's Ice Cream Social.
I'm Eric.
And I am Ted.
And now, Ted, normally how we open up, you always ask me a series of questions, and I give you some ridiculous answers.
Yeah.
I'm going to turn that around one time, because I have a question for you.
Okay.
Now, after watching Thursday night's game.
Bengals-Browns, right?
Yep, Bengals-Browns, the much maligned Bengals, 3 points.
Oh.
Good job. So apparently they aren't the team that we thought they were.
Well, real quick, that 3 points that the Bengals scored was actually 6 points better than Andy Dalton's fantasy number.
Yeah, negative three.
That was
him
awesome.
And Philip Rivers. That was Philip Rivers from the week before, but that was great performances.
Gotta sneak that Dalton's
question,
gig in, right?
That was a great game.
It was.
Which we'll get to that later.
Yeah, we sure will again.
Of
course, we'll never let that go.
Now, my question to you is: are the Browns for real?
That's difficult because what does for real mean in this?
No. You're not going to answer a question with a question. Are the Browns for real?
Maybe.
Okay.
Yes. Well, no. This is why I'm asking. Okay. Mm-hmm. What sort of expectations did Browns fans have going into the season?
Well, how much expectation could a Brown fan have regardless?
Well, they had the expectations in Johnny Clipboard. Johnny Bench was
their
big savior.
Is that expectations or false bravado? Like, I mean, they just kind of do that to kind of psych themselves up. You know how defenders will, like, start talking about how they're going to kill each other's grandmother and bury them in a basement and eat their children to get themselves psyched up? Well, you don't know about that one? But, to get himself bumped up.
What? I have no idea what that is.
Well, it's a real thing.
Okay, you'll have to fill me in on that one.
So they psych themselves up. The fans psych themselves up for a season. But really, their expectations, I don't believe, are very high. Just like with the Dolphins, every time they bring some guy in, yeah, we throw a little positivity out there. But at the end of the day, we still don't expect much.
Okay, so, question then. Did Browns fans expect to go 500? Okay.
I think they would have been okay with a 500 season.
If that's the case, then the answer to your question, your query, then they're definitely for real.
So they're for real, so which means that they are going to improve on their fan base's expectation of, say, 8-8 season.
Yeah, now.
So they are a playoff team.
See, is that the definition?
For real. That would be a definition of a poor team, whether or not they're for real. That means, are they going to be able to keep up with consistency the style of play and the production of play that they've been doing to the point now, because we're already at past halfway, to the point that it's going to put them in a playoff spot? That's what a poor team becoming for real means.
Okay, well, a couple of their games have been won on the last drive, and a couple even on the last play to that degree. And that kind of thing sort of tempers some of my long-term enthusiasm for the Browns'
really,
trajectory.
It doesn't encourage you.
No.
It tempers it.
If you remember a couple of years ago when Brian Urlacher's Bears got to the Super Bowl, they had gone like 13-3 that year, or 14-2.
Like 12-4, something like that.
They were unbelievably good.
Yep.
But they had won
a lot of close games,
five or six of
games.
Their games by 3 points. They lost the Super Bowl. But they made it to the Super Bowl.
Yep.
The following year, everybody was like, this is a Super Bowl team again. Well, all of those games, water seeks its level.
Like nine,
all of those 3-point,
seven.
Yeah, all
yeah,
those 3-point games went the other way.
So for this year,
the Browns, if the Browns, they are absolutely a case for the wild card. But the Browns' biggest problem right now.
They are 6-3 now.
I mean, but look who else is 6-3 in that division.
Pittsburgh.
Correct. And Pittsburgh is a powerhouse.
Are they?
Yep.
Are they?
Pittsburgh's a powerhouse.
Well, when they get a quarterback, let me know.
You mean the one that just broke the NFL record for the most touchdowns in 2 weeks?
And the one who's going to break. Let me know when they get a quarterback.
The one who's that guy, if he throws 3 touchdowns this week, he ties the all-time record for most touchdowns in a 3-week period set by Peyton Manning.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so he's going to actually break that record, I hope, this weekend. It'd be nice
if he could actually do something good for once and help me with my fantasy team.
I am rooting for Big Ben.
Really?
I am rooting
for
your case. No.
In the social league, I mean, one of us has to represent in the Super Bowl, and it's not going to be you. So someone's got to be there at the top. You don't want to carry on the name?
I don't know. My team's looking pretty good.
Really? You think so?
Wait, that's right. I have Tony Romo as my starting quarterback.
Another team that gets constantly asked, are they for real?
Well, no. You know what? I think that they fall into this. All right, so there's a couple of different categories here. So the are they for real teams? Here
Detroit.
We are. No.
Cincinnati.
I would think right now you would be asking, are the Dolphins for real?
Yes, I'm absolutely asking, are the Dolphins for real? Do you have an answer?
At the mid-season point? Yeah.
Yep.
They've beaten a couple of AFC powerhouses and pretty handily.
But now see, they're sitting third in their division at 5-3.
Who's in second in their division?
Buffalo, because they lost to Buffalo.
But they still have another game against Buffalo. They still have
another game. So do you ask if Buffalo's for real?
Buffalo's not for real.
So Buffalo is not for real, but the Dolphins could be?
Could be.
Could be for real.
All right, so let's look
at
some of
the Jets. Are they for real?
Only in the sense of, like, when you're watching a Jets game, you go, is that real? Could there really be an NFL team that bad?
Is this real life?
This is terrible. Like, my God, Rex, what
did you see? All right, I got to ask this because I saw it today.
Is this about burying the grandmother under the steps thing? What
about
Wayne
Corbett? No.
Wayne Corbett.
No.
And Chad Pennington.
No. There was a woman that put out this video of what it's like to be a pretty woman walking down the street.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You saw that? And catcalling, hey, baby, this, so you should blah, blah, blah. This whole thing, I don't even know what it meant. But, so...
I don't even know. I'm not a pretty woman. Eric's admitting now.
I never got to do that.
Right
walk
here.
Out to the dance in different clothes.
On November 9th, he was never a pretty woman.
I never got my hand snapped in a jewelry box. Now listen, so a Jets fan did it. So it just shows him wearing a Jets t-shirt, and it's what it's like to be a Jets fan walking down the street. Everybody just shits all over this dude as he's walking down the street. It was epic. So that's what it's like being a Jets fan
right
now.
Now.
Go watch that video. I guess that's in a nutshell.
Now, in the NFC is our... Are the Detroit Lions for real? And of course, because Eric and I keep
sitting
saying
at 6-2, they're leading their division like we predicted.
Yep, and
so they are indeed for real.
I think they are, and with every great team that there has ever been, you've always had your share of luck. You've had your moment. When you look back at the '80s 49ers, the catch,
sure, and the throw. You mean?
Well, he was trying to throw that away, and Dwight Clark, Everson Walls.
I think Joe Montana says it differently.
Well. Actually, Joe Montana is the one who says he tried to throw it away.
No, he's the one that says, why don't they call it the throw?
Because Dwight Clark is Superman. Dwight Clark Kent. Yeah, but that thing's burned into my retinas.
Was a great catch.
Yeah, it was a great catch. Yeah.
That was a great game.
I feel really good about that still.
You make me feel
1982.
Wow. At least in the NFC, you got to, even if Detroit falls off, you got to figure they're good for a wild card.
At this point, with 6 wins, if they go .500 the rest of the way,
yep,
we're at the turning point of the season.
Absolutely. So, I mean, you got Green Bay sitting behind. They're the only threat to them at 5-3. So, obviously, we know Green Bay could turn it on. But, again, their defense is not what it should be.
There's a real big test coming up for Green Bay with Green Bay and New England.
Yeah, it's going to be playing pretty soon, yep.
And with one of the things that kind of, if I was a Green Bay fan, I'd be a little bit skittish about.
Well, of course they should, the way the Patriots have been playing. Matter of fact, we sat here just a couple weeks back in our open, asked if the Patriots would get through this 5-game stretch against playoff contenders. Mm-hmm. Would they make it out alive? And we said no.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, it's kind of looking like they are. They got through the first two, Chicago, Denver, which was the biggest. Now they got the Colts. They got Green Bay.
And the Colts are coming off of, and not their most recent loss, but that drubbing that they took against Ben Roethlisberger's Pittsburgh Steelers.
Yeah.
And you never can count Andrew Luck out of anything.
Yeah. I mean, but they're sitting at 6-3 at the top of their division.
Again, that this is where it's starting to become
sketchy.
They're
going to win that one.
This is
so
why the question comes back to the Browns. Can the Browns make it to the playoffs? There are so many teams that are right there with the Browns.
Well, let's go through them. And we got to say Buffalo because they haven't shown that they're going to last, but they also haven't shown that they're going to fall off right about now. So they're sitting there 5-3 just like the Dolphins are. So they have just as much of any chance.
Okay.
But then you go to the AFC North. Pittsburgh Steelers, Cleveland Browns, all sitting at 6-3 with the Bengals sitting at 5-3-1.
Should have won
that game that they tied. They should have, the kicker there. Mm-hmm. So easily, on a leg of a dumb kicker, this whole AFC North, besides Baltimore, who's 5-4, could all be 6-3.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a tough division. I mean, you're looking at possible 2 wild cards out of there if Buffalo and Dolphins fall off.
And it's exactly that's exactly why I'm saying that the wild card is I can't give
but
the wild
Kansas
card
City.
To Cleveland.
Can't forget about Kansas City. Where's San Diego, Kansas? Although San Diego's lost 3 in a row, they look awful. Kansas City's sitting at 5-3, just one game back of Denver.
Mm-hmm.
So are they for real? You got Alex Smith, you got Andy Reid, you got some good talent around there. You got Jamal Charles. He's rushing, he's not hurt.
Yep.
I should know, he's on my team.
And he hasn't been carrying the rock like he had
no, but
in the past.
No, but he's still getting production.
No, it's not about, and forget about the fantasy football aspect of it.
No, I just said production.
Of it, but
I said points.
Well, fantasy production and points are pretty much the same thing.
I meant football production for the Chiefs, sir.
Well, with that one of the things that's kind of a nice little wild card for them, you know, to pun intended, I guess, is the fact that he's going to be well-rested going into the playoffs. And when that weather gets bad in places like New England and in places like Denver and places like Kansas City, as we're closing out the season, Jamal Charles has a lot of tread on this season's tires. And imagine now if it's a driving rainstorm or a snowstorm and you have to hand the ball to Jamal Charles, who has under 200 carries at the time,
you're going to get
a performance out of him for the ages.
Oh, absolutely.
That's one of the things about...
Any team with a premier running back that's healthy mm-hmm. in the playoffs is very dangerous.
Yeah.
We've seen it with guys like
Jamal Lewis from
they could just put you on your back and carry you through the playoffs.
They can.
Now, so we got the Chiefs as are they real? Are they for real? You got the Buffalo Bills. I'm sure their fans are wondering that. Nobody else really cares. But the Buffalo Bills fans are wondering if their team's for real. Well, those two teams play each other this Sunday.
So is this going to tell us the final
in Buffalo.
Answer? In all seriousness, is that going to kind of tell you where the trajectory of the back
half of
the season?
Of those two teams, because again, they're both going to be vying for a wild card
mm-hmm.
as it stands now.
Yep.
So how much of a win versus much of a loss either side has mm-hmm. could dictate, especially if everything else goes in the opposite way. So if Chiefs go in there, beat the Bills.
Okay.
San Diego loses another game.
Mm-hmm.
If they're not on a bye.
Well, we have the Dolphins and the Lions. And now I know
that's what I'm saying. Exactly. You got Dolphins. What are they going to do? They're going to win if Buffalo loses, that kind of thing.
When the Dolphins have to go up now against that calibrated defense that the Detroit Lions have.
Yep.
How do you expect them to not...
See, it's funny that you say it that way. Because the way I see it is how is Matthew Stafford... And the Lions' offense going to go up against Miami's defense.
What's the status of Calvin Johnson right now?
He is going to play, but he's not at 100%, but he is going to play in the game.
Him at 75% is better than
everybody
in the league, yeah.
But you have the Dolphins, which are number one in the league on yards per play,
mm-hmm.
okay, making a lot of big plays in the last 4 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Either leading or running second, third in a lot of statistical categories.
Starting
to Detroit as well. Detroit's got a good defense. Literally, a lot of people saying they're 1-2, 2-1, 6-1 half a dozen the other.
Okay,
but you got Olivier Vernon and Cameron Wake.
Mm-hmm. The killing.
I can't tell you how many times you see them both at the quarterback.
Meet you
same
at the quarterback.
Time. Exactly.
Yeah. Meet you at the quarterback.
And so with the way the Dolphins' defense is playing right now.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think it's the Lions that have to worry about what they're going to do against the Dolphins' defense. Because the Lions' defense have fallen off a little bit a couple weeks. I had to drop them.
Well, no.
But
now with what I'm getting at exactly with the Miami Dolphins is the Dolphins have not played against a dominant force on defense, particularly the defensive line, yet this year.
Right, because when they played the Patriots, their defense wasn't the way it is right now.
Exactly. Have run into a really strong, solid defense, it was the Buffalo Bills, who are playing great defense right now.
They were playing actually better at the time.
At the time. Yeah. And what did they do to the Dolphins? Yeah, they beat the Dolphins.
Game. Yeah, they did.
And it was a good football game, but at the end of the day, if you didn't win, you didn't win.
Yeah.
And so
I mean the Dolphins are one game away of being right up there with the Patriots with that Green Bay game that they blew with the fake spike. The Miami Dolphins of any team should never be caught with the fake spike. I'm sorry.
I
found that as a personal insult that they fell for that.
I think it was Aaron Rodgers' tribute.
Jackass.
Tribute to the first jackass that did it.
The greatest ever, you mean?
We've
already been through this.
I know that Dan Marino did it. I don't know if Tom Brady's done it.
Oh, that's funny. That's cute. That's real cute.
And so is chewing into the microphone. So Eric and I are going to take a quick break. We're going to come back in a couple of seconds. Don't forget to hit us up on Twitter at Eric and Ted ICS. On our Facebook page, facebook.com/Eric and Ted.
And our website at www.ericandted.com.
And that is Eric enjoying some delicious caramel. That's why the break's coming. Diane Sawyer song.
Diane Sawyer song.
Right. Well, this is
you just can't borrow people, Ricky.
Best show ever.
Trailer Park Boys. Been told that I look somewhat like Ricky, I've been told.
Actually, I think Ricky has a persona. He has an attitude, a thing about him, and you personify it. If they did an Americanized version of Trailer Park Boys, Ricky would be Eric.
Yeah, would be
it
Eric.
Would be Eric-y.
So, Eric.
So welcome back to Eric and Ted's Ice Cream Social.
I'm Eric.
And I'm Ted.
And we're going to continue our talk, except I think we've covered all the are they real enough or are they for real?
Yeah, the only other team I think I would throw in that category are the Ravens, but I hate them, so I don't want to talk about them.
Yeah, I could go for that. At 5-4, they're really irrelevant to me.
Yeah, screw the Ravens.
Yeah, and Big Ben. Yeah. It's my two most hated things in the NFL.
Right?
So how about we take a trip over to the NFC West? The unlikely NFC West and the mess.
The most surprising division in football this year, without a doubt.
Absolutely. So we're going to start with a Mr. Carson Palmer.
Just got a big deal?
He did.
Three-year
extension, mm-hmm. $50 million, $20 million guaranteed by 2015.
And
so they have him now signed through 2017.
All right. I think he deserves it.
Absolutely.
He's obviously a great leader. He's oft injured, as they say. But I think that the weapons that they have in place there, quality defense, good leadership.
Best record in the NFL.
They won't finish that way, I don't think.
They're 7-1.
No, I know. I'd like to see.
Can we schedule watch for them? Can we rabbit hole it?
Yeah.
Real quick, why don't you pull up the Cardinals schedule?
Okay.
And we're going to see how we think that they're going to end the year.
Okay.
Are they going to be there at the top? Are they going to get that first round bye in home games throughout in the NFC? Are they going to falter?
Here's what they have left on their schedule. All right. They play St. Louis. That's a walk.
Yeah, absolutely. That's a win for them. Now they're sitting at 8-1.
Okay. Detroit. Tough game.
In Detroit?
Versus Detroit, so no.
I mean, 8-1 against Detroit in Arizona.
I don't know
they if they can win that game.
My big question is this. Like, you say Arizona like there's some sort of juggernaut. I don't know how much of a, like, massive home field advantage they have there. Like, this isn't like...
Gotta imagine there's some.
Oh, yeah. No, no, no. I'm sure there's some.
Gotta be a lot of hype going on down there.
Yeah, they're all feeling it. Now, they're not very far removed from the Kurt Warner Super Bowl team that lost to Big Ben. I had to. But
that was a fluke.
Sure. But
for both teams.
Yeah, it was Big Ben's multiple Super Bowl games, so...
It makes me sick.
Hell,
you keep talking about him.
He's a good football player, mm-hmm. man. What can I tell you?
Yep.
But they built that team around a core of a big three. And this is another football big three. Now they've signed Carlson Palmer. You obviously know what Larry Fitzgerald brings to the table.
Yeah, Andre Jones obviously is only going to improve as long as he stays healthy. Again, that's a caveat every player gets.
Yeah, that's
playing in the NFL.
That's why the Cowboys finish up 9-7, 8-8, just like
poor
we thought.
Tony Romo.
Yeah, poor bastard. I actually this is the first time in my life sorry for him.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah,
but continue though.
All right, so they go then Detroit, and then here's a string. They're at Seattle.
Mm-hmm. Tough game. Divisional game.
They lose it.
I think they do it too. They already beat them once. Seattle's going to learn.
At Atlanta.
That's Atlanta's not nearly good enough.
At St. Louis. Who can surprise?
Again, so that's two St. Louis games in the next 4 weeks.
Yeah. But then they close out the season versus Seattle and at San Francisco. And that's that's why I'm saying that, like.
Okay, so maybe what? 12-4?
Sure, 12-4.
That's got to be best in the NFC.
Sure, but
is that who you picked? Like,
no,
I mean, that's what I'm saying. Like, nobody saw this coming. Like, they are shaping up.
They did.
If they win the games they're supposed to, that they're going to finish with a first round bye and home field advantage throughout the playoffs in the NFC. No one saw that coming.
The one thing that their home field advantage gives in the playoffs is that it's not much of a home field advantage. It's 71 degrees and balmy.
Okay,
in the dead of winter. It's not like going to the Pacific Northwest and playing in Seattle. It's not like playing in Green Bay. It's not like, take your pick of northern cities that are a horror show to try to travel to.
Okay.
And the Super Bowl is being hosted there this year.
Okay. And when everybody's been watching, every time that happens, is the home team going to make it?
If you have Green Bay on the road going to the comfortable climate of Arizona to play.
Well, the stifling climate.
No, because if it's after, like, I think it's like above like 80 degrees, they close the roof because it's a retractable roof. So, like, this is what I'm saying.
If it gets too hot, we put the AC on.
Yeah, they do. It's like it's like Florida the retirement community.
Jesus Christ.
Well, that's where our people retire to Florida.
Yeah, snowbirds. Like, they go down there and they come up here for the summers.
Well, they have them in Montana and Idaho.
Oh, they go down to Arizona?
They go to Arizona. No, that's where they go.
Wow.
That's why there's the Grapefruit
Bunch
League.
Bunch of transplants.
Yeah.
Makes sense.
Yeah, there's the Grapefruit League is here and the Cactus League is there.
So... That being said, so we have the Cardinals winning their division at least.
At least winning their division, at least getting a first round bye in a playoff game at home.
So what team, I ask the question now, what team has the best chance of pulling themselves out of this trash hole that they've dug in Seattle and San Francisco?
Oh, Seattle.
San Fran,
definitely Seattle.
4-4, Seattle at 5-3.
I think Seattle, because one of the things about San Francisco that they have got to be a little bit concerned about.
They're a mess over there.
They're a mess. Much, much more so. Like, I always, my loathing, of course, of Pete Carroll and
everything harboring Harbaughs.
Here's the harboring Harbaughs. They harbor criminals on their team. The harboring Harbaughs. But Jim Harbaugh is going to be coaching Michigan. He's going to be coaching.
That's his dream job.
That's his dream job. And that's every Michigan fan's dream. They either want Les Miles back or they want Harbaugh.
Harbaugh, yep.
So I see Harbaugh going there. There's a lot of feeling of anxiety toward the future of this team that doesn't exist with some of the upper echelon teams.
Well, no, and it's funny, if you look at San Francisco, say, just the last 3 or 4 years, you saw their...
From the Mike Singletary era a couple of years ago.
Yeah, and the handoff to Harbaugh.
Yeah.
You saw a steady, slight decline on their upside each year. And what you started to hear with that is more and more about the dislike of the coach... And some players, headbutt and how he doesn't care if they like him, all that type of rah rah. You start to hear more and more of it as they got worse. As the losses got worse or the losing streaks got longer from one game to two games, you started to hear more and more about the dissension in the locker room.
Yeah.
So you were already wondering when that was going to blow up.
But see, that's the same type of thing what you're describing right there. If you had not given me a name, that's the exact same thing that you're describing in Seattle. If you had said, I'm going to describe a team in the NFC West
But there's no talk of Pete Carroll going elsewhere like there is with Harbaugh now.
No, there's not. That's the one
Pete Carroll's not going anywhere.
For a couple of more years.
Yeah, at least. And then that's all any coach can be guaranteed anyway right now.
Yeah, then he'll take a job at like UCLA, and he'll be a trader down there, and then he'll burn that program to the ground like he did
with
USC.
But after stealing a couple of championships.
I don't know if that team's got another couple of championships. Well, I see this
team
now.
Talk about the college team that he goes and he steals a couple of championships.
Oh, yeah, there you go.
Before coming back to the NFL to coach the Falcons.
But feelings aside, when I look at Seattle, they have all of these earmarks of a one-and-done Super Bowl team. I don't see a dynasty on the horizon. And this was one of those things that, like, talk about the comparison.
So why is that? What, the ownership's investment?
No,
in the
no,
team?
The ownership loves that team.
So you don't think they're going to add,
all right,
keep adding pieces as they go
well,
to
adding,
improve
listen,
their team?
There's a difference between adding pieces and adding the right pieces. As we clearly know,
yep.
You can't just go out and sign.
But you got a young, very intelligent quarterback
that they don't
who can manage a game.
But he could excel.
You're right, but
they don't
point,
let him.
Right, but I'm saying that if they put any type of talent around this kid going forward in the future, you got to imagine that they have a chance at being relevant at years to come.
Here's my problem with Seattle. Here's what Seattle's facing on the horizon.
Yep.
First and foremost, they have massive contract issues coming up in the next couple of years.
Well, we know Marshawn Lynch is not going to be on the team next year.
We know that. But they just gave big money to Russell Wilson. They
as big money can get for a mobile quarterback.
Sure. They gave big money to him. Everybody on that secondary, the legendary Legion of Boom, is due a contract in the next 2 years.
You see the dissolution of their not good defense, their Super Bowl winning defense.
Yeah, because I think a lot of those guys, like, yeah, you can have Richard Sherman, who's, you know, again, he's the best, one of the three or four best cornerbacks in the NFL.
And he's only one guy.
Richard Sherman is the linchpin of that defense, so they pay him, okay?
Of course, and they'll continue to pay him until they can't.
Right now, they're not paying him, as it were. Like, yes, he's getting, he gets a good amount of money, but he hasn't had his big payday yet. When Richard Sherman gets his big payday, where does that money come from? That means you don't sign the defensive tackles. That means you don't sign the linebackers. What you need, and I don't see any indication that they're going to be able to solve this issue. Seattle Seahawks have been notorious for not being able to solve contract issues all throughout the entire existence of the franchise. They'll make it to a Super Bowl. They'll make it to the playoffs. They'll win a Super Bowl, whatever. And then you have Pete Carroll.
Well, first time.
Here's a problem with Pete Carroll. When you give players a lot of freedom to talk on the field, to talk to the press, to
well, it's
be
easy
themselves
to get out of control.
Really easy. And look at what's happening right now there. It's like it's out of control there.
But nothing cures that stuff like winning. And if they go on a run like they're capable of, okay, That'll cure all that. You won't hear about it anymore. All of a sudden, it'll be everything's good in Seattle again. Winning cures everything.
And lose a game and what happens? See, this is what I'm talking about.
That's why
it's such a precarious perch.
It is.
Listen, that's why, like, if so.
Nice alliteration.
Thank you. What happens if, see, in Seattle this year, we know Marshawn Lynch isn't coming back. We know they have some big contracts that are going to come up that they got to deal with right away. What happens if they get a first round bye, play a playoff game on the road, and they're one and done in the playoffs?
There's going to be a lot of unrest in Seattle.
And that's the Pete Carroll way. That's the Pete Carroll way. Listen,
so now you're faulting him for going and winning the Super Bowl and not being able to repeat?
No, not at all, man.
Very hard to repeat, and the NFL stands for not for long.
The NFL stands for not for long. You keep making calls like that. Jerry Glanville.
We need a couple of his snippets on here.
I just want to sit with Jerry
Glanville. Yeah, right? Yeah, just for 10 minutes.
But here's the problem. And that's the thing that will get Pete Carroll removed from his head coaching position there. That's it.
Lynched. Run out of town.
Wow. But keep going. You got any more?
That's about all I got.
Okay.
Pitchforks and torches?
No, but you brought in Marshawn Lynch and that he runs.
Yes.
So, well, I think Marshawn Lynch
run
is running
right
out of town.
First.
But again, and we would go back and we'd revisit the rest of this division. If you had, what would be different with the Rams right now if you had Sam Bradford? And I honestly...
A game or two? So what? Okay. Maybe they're sitting there at 4-4 and 5-3 like Seattle and San Francisco are.
There you go.
And they're only... They're 5-3 right now. I mean, 3-5 right now. Mm-hmm. So they are just, you know, one game away from being the 49ers.
There you go. And see, that's what I'm saying. Like, and we keep laughing about the fact that we were busting balls about this from
yeah,
day
we were.
One.
As soon as he went down, we were like, yeah, it's gonna open up the window for Seattle and San Fran to
finally take over the division.
And, you know, break that schneid.
And, yeah.
And Arizona comes and just... blows it out.
It's Arizona's like, oh, thanks, Ed.
Yeah, thanks, guys.
Thanks, fellas. But
screwed everything up.
What other divisions are there? And the, what else has happened in the rest of the NFC?
Because well, I mean, you got the NFC South. You got New Orleans Saints winning their division right now at 4-4.
Mm-hmm.
And Carolina's at 3-5.
Kind of going
that
nowhere.
Once proud, at least half proud division with mm-hmm. the Falcons and the Saints and yep. Carolina, like I had said at the beginning of the year, was a team that was constantly improving. I had him winning a wild card.
And remember, my argument was, is that's great, but he has nobody to throw to
and
anymore.
You were right. You were 100% right.
And that's
I figured somebody would step up. Nobody stepped up. This team's a joke.
No more Brandon LaFell, Steve Smith.
The fact that they're 3-5, I'm kind of surprised.
Correct.
I'm kind of surprised at the 3-5 record. New Orleans Saints, though. That's a mess akin to what's going on in San Francisco.
In a weaker division.
Yep.
And that's and
which is going to give them the space to turn it around at any given point and take over the division.
No, because I think that, well, yes and no. The reason
when you're winning at 4-4, you're pretty comfortable.
The Saints come to visit you in Green Bay. All right.
Well, actually, matter of fact, 49ers are going to New Orleans. Mm-hmm. The Sunday.
Yeah, and see, this is going to tell
you. So that's
you,
actually, that's a huge game. A battle of the 4-4s, and I'm sure it'll be on network TV.
Yeah.
Battle of the 4-4s. Let's see what happens.
Right?
This but is riveting.
With the Saints, is the exact same thing. With
so no wild card team is coming out of the South, period. No, it's not happening. It's not happening.
No.
Falcons at 2-6 aren't turning it around. Man, it's another one. We talked about it with you watching the Hard Knocks. Yep.
All you need to do is watch Hard Knocks.
Yep, and you see that this team is going to fall right on their face again.
Mike Smith is not...
He's not the answer.
He's not the answer. Nope. And Brian Cox, like, I love Brian Cox, but when you have an attitude like Brian Cox... I know, I'm going to cut the Brian out of there. I love Brian Cox.
What do you do with your hand?
When you have Brian Cox...
In the middle of your hand.
When you have Brian Cox on one side of this, and his attitude and the way that he coaches his linemen and all this other stuff, and then on the other side you have Mike Smith.
He's a pretty passive guy.
Who?
Brian Cox.
Yeah, yeah. Passive Cox.
Does he still wear that neck thing?
He just walks around with it, yeah. That neck support thing in his gear. No, but Mike Smith is this like... This like kind of like it's like having like Mr. Rogers as your
a
head
kinder,
coach.
Gentler. New York Giants there?
Tom Coughlin.
Coughlin. I wanted to say Callahan. I don't know why. Coughlin. Tom Coughlin.
Tom Coughlin.
Yeah.
Well, you have
a fuzzier Tom Coughlin.
Sure, but he's like this like kind on, like guys. He's like this kind of like huggy kind of like real quiet type of guy, and he talks in front of his team like. All it is one play, fellas. Remember, it's
come on, guys.
And it's that.
Let's do it now.
Yeah, it's that.
We can do it.
That attitude is not what these guys need.
They need a rah-rah? Are you saying they need a rah-rah coach?
You know what?
Come on, rah-rah coach.
I could honestly say to
you
that.
They could use a Pete Carroll?
If you took Pete Carroll
out of Atlanta,
Atlanta would win with Pete Carroll.
That's interesting.
By the way, NFL Coach of the Year, Mike Pettine. Midway point, it's Mike Pettine.
How can it not be? What he's done Detroit? I mean, I know he's going to lose
this week.
I mean, Cleveland,
yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah.
But what he's done there with Brian Ahoya?
Brian Ahoya. Chips Ahoya?
Brian Hoya?
Brian Ahoya?
Tony Flacco. Richard Stamos is John Stamos' older brother.
John Stamos' older brother. Richard Stamos going to sing Loving You at Halftime. No, dude, please don't get us down this road. We can't let another show degrade so quickly.
Vaporize in front of our eyes.
Such an ass.
I'm so saucy.
Stop it. So going back.
So it's not nothing's coming out of the South.
No.
We got, like we said, we talked about the NFC North. So you got the Lions, you got the Packers. You got to imagine one's going to win the division, one's going to pick up one of the wild cards.
Sure, because we know
you got and then you got the Eagles sitting at 6-2. Do the Cowboys limp into their into the second wild card? Well, just limp in. Just dragging their freaking foot.
Listen, the Cowboys can... It's possible, but only because they're 6-3 right now, or whatever they are.
They're 6-3.
They're 6-3. They're playing this week in London, then they get the bye week.
They make him get on that flight?
He is in London. Three broken bones in his back, or two broken bones in his back.
This is the question, though.
Uh-huh.
Why?
Why did they bring him there?
Yes. Tell me why.
There is...
You don't think that they can beat the Jacksonville Jaguars based on a running game and this kid maybe hopefully competing a few passes? You don't think they can beat the Jags?
Number one, they can beat the Jags without Tony Romo, and I don't expect Tony Romo to start.
So why is he in London?
Because he is money, and money is what Jerry Jones is all about.
But they're going to sell out that stadium regardless.
Every single eye in UK that watches football is looking for number nine. The Dallas Cowboys.
Sorry, mate.
They say mate.
They say mate over there, okay?
But not in an Australian accent.
Whatever. Sorry, chop. Chip, chip, and cheerio. All right? Who gives a shit? Bottom line, they still would have sold out the stadium, and your Tony Romo would be sitting at home resting that back, not getting on a 9-hour flight overseas, and then going into a bye week. So you tell me how you cannot give this guy 2 full weeks of doing nothing.
I'm trying to.
I'm trying to listen.
Okay. Because the NFL wants Europe. Okay. NFL wants.
They got Europe by the balls, just like your hands insinuating right now. They have the Europe by the balls.
Okay. You're still not letting me answer this question
because there is no appropriate answer. There's no answer.
No,
I will accept.
It's not about what's appropriate and what's not.
How about what I accept as an answer?
It's you're irrelevant.
Oh, I beg to differ. You're, I'm kind of a big deal.
You can drop the deal part.
I'm kind of big. Oh, that's really funny, Ted. You should be off-putting, okay?
That's off-putting. You should be off-putting. No, the NFL, in all seriousness, wants to generate as much interest as they possibly can in
and you think they accomplish that by keeping Romo on the bench?
Bringing Romo there, because this is an ambassadorship meeting. Like, if you see what they've done.
What is it, the fourth or fifth game this year already?
What?
Third?
What do you what?
Fourth?
Oh, what?
In London? Third game this year?
Second game this year. They have five scheduled for next game. For next year.
Third this year.
Whether second, third, or fourth, it doesn't matter.
So they got him.
Tony Romo is a marquee name on the marquee team in the United States.
It's still not answering my question.
This is, you're talking about
a playoffs. You're talking about Super Bowl. Why would you put that in jeopardy? Just to make a publicity appearance. Why?
That's what it is.
What would you do if you were the owner? What would you do if you were the owner, your Cowboys, and you saw the situation coming into a bye, playing Jaguars, going into a bye?
Go back to episode 3 of Eric and Ted's Ice Cream Social, and what did you say then to that? And I have my open letter to it's not have Tony Romo as your quarterback, period.
Oh, so he's good enough to get you to a 6-2 because, you know,
he didn't
have that loss.
Wait, you said because, and I want you to give me the answer. Because?
Because of the wonderful things he does?
No, because of the wonderful things DeMarco Murray has done.
Really? You don't think Tony Romo's performed well?
The shocking turn of events that's come on their defense. Their defense was 32 last year, and we were sitting
and
here
they
together.
Unloaded, and they unloaded the talent they had.
Exactly. And right. their defense
but Tony
is
Romo
overachieving.
Hasn't performed well enough for you this year?
Tony Romo.
To be your quarterback, Ted?
Tony Romo has been the best of his entire career, and why? Because Jason Garrett's no longer calling plays. They've decided that, hey, you know what? A 50-50 run-pass ratio is a pretty good idea. And now, all of a sudden, you give this guy, you don't have to carry the game.
So you
want to
keep that guy at home?
Of course I do.
That's what I asked
you. Yes, I've been agreeing with you the whole time. I want Tony Romo to stay at home. You asked me if I was the owner. Yes, Tony Romo stays
home.
You
said he wouldn't even be your quarterback, period.
He wouldn't be my quarterback, but if I was stuck with Tony Romo,
you would keep him home.
Of course I
would.
That's
a smart decision.
Yes, but we're not talking about smart. We're talking about money. We're talking about Jerry Jones. We're talking about the NFL. Jerry Jones took Tony Romo there to be an ambassador for the game and for the team and for the league.
I don't think it's
worth it. That's why he's... Of course it's not worth it. Having 100,000 seats in an NFL stadium where 40% of the seats can get sold to the opposing team's fan is not a good idea.
Yeah, that wasn't. They didn't think that
went
through.
Holy Jesus!
Let's build a super big stadium for the other team.
What the hell are you doing?
Let's give them a great experience for the other teams and their fans when they come and visit us.
Does Jerry care if everybody's wearing blue and silver? No.
He cares about spending money in his pock.
Because everybody there has green. Period.
And we'll be right back.
Don't forget to hit us up on Twitter at Eric and Ted ICS.
And our website, ericandted.com.
On Facebook.com/Eric and Ted.
And iTunes, Eric and Ted's Ice Cream Social.
Surprised to hear us back so quick. Welcome back to Eric and Ted's Ice Cream Social.
I'm Eric.
And I'm Ted. And we have a couple of more quick things to talk about before we get to our picks this week.
This has clearly been a football show in a state of the union as it was halfway through point. Correct. Now let's talk about...
Well, Bill Belichick's most important thing he's ever said.
Yep.
You never know about your team until Thanksgiving.
Yep.
That was his. You know what you have by Thanksgiving.
Yep. Oh, I'm looking forward to that show. We're going to have a nice Thanksgiving show.
Oh, I can't wait. A lot to be thankful for this
absolutely,
year.
Absolutely. Absolutely. But so we move over to the AFC to kind of wrap up this show, and we'll do our picks.
Yeah, Eric has a question here.
We're going to talk about the Broncos and the Patriots because those are clearly the top dogs in the AFC.
Probably in the NFL.
Yeah, in the NFL. Yeah. That's not a far cry at this point. Mm-hmm. Besides Arizona sitting at the top of everybody.
Seriously.
So, Teddy, is it imperative that the New England Patriots keep pace at this point with the Denver Broncos and take that number one overall seed and take that bye and the two playoff games?
Correct. That's the
only
way. For
them to make a push into the playoffs or make the Super Bowl, do they need to have that first round bye and two home playoffs?
The Patriots can't go to Denver and win in the playoffs.
They can't. I see that as Denver can't come to New England and win. Patriots, I think, could win, but it would be unlikely in Denver.
Yeah, okay.
It would be wide open, and we'd see the Peyton Manning Denver offense like we see against all the mediocre teams and home games that they play, you know, 400 yards, 4 or 5 touchdowns. And
with you look at the Patriots defense, for instance, and you kind of, you know, you lose Gerard Mayo again, and it's a next man up attitude.
It is. Well, it is in New England. It is an absolute next man up attitude. No excuses. Next guy better be prepared to fill in on the moment's notice.
Except right now in the New England Patriots, you have two guys who are irreplaceable, and that's Gronkowski and Brady.
And right now they're on fire. He changes their offense. We talked about this in the last show.
Mm-hmm.
How he changes their offense. He doesn't make Tom Brady. To be clear.
Yeah.
But what he changes to the opposing team's defense.
Mm-hmm.
That's what changes the whole game around for Brady. Yeah. Now all of a sudden you don't have someone doubling LaFell or Kendrick Tompkins when he was on the team.
Kendrell Tompkins.
I mean,
but now you see,
you know, like, now you have a valid, healthy Gronk.
Yeah, when you have Gronkowski and you see Tim Wright is getting moving along, yeah, and LaFell is starting to become an integral part.
Yeah, and Edelman is doing what Edelman does.
And then the guy nobody talks about at all in this passing game is Ben Vereen, but he's turning. Yep. He's slow before your eyes, Patriots fans. He's turning into
Pass out of the backfield and take it for 15-20 yards.
He's turning into Kevin
Absolutely.
Fogg. And that's right there, like when you look back at the Patriots.
Ben Vereen. Him and Gregory Hines, baby.
Oh, Ben Vereen. Dancing Gregory Hines.
Dancing in the sky.
We love you.
So, I mean, that's why I say because of the talent and how everything's kind of changed with them with a healthy Gronk, I can see them going to Denver and winning.
Mm-hmm.
But I do think it is imperative that they take that first round bye. They can't take a chance. They already went to Denver last year. We saw what happened.
They're much different teams, I think.
Yeah, but I don't know about much different teams.
Well, number one, you lost. You had Wes Welker on one of the Broncos' cheap plays. Wes Welker took out Aqib Talib, so boom, right there, you can't cover anybody on the outside. You already had lost Gerard Mayo.
And they were playing in 61-degree weather in Denver.
And we know that that's crazy.
In January.
Yeah, because that's where...
everybody was told it was going to be cold. It's going to favor the Patriots. All of a sudden, freaking warm front rolls in 61 degrees in playoffs.
And that right there automatically gives that advantage back to Peyton
Exactly, Manning. Exactly.
So you I think you said it right. That there's no way if the Broncos come here in the AFC Championship game, they are not going to the Super Bowl. If the Patriots go to Denver for the AFC Championship game, they might go to the Super Bowl.
Yeah, it'll be tough. It'll be very tough.
It will.
But if Peyton Manning has to come to Gillette, he's 2-6, 2-8, something like that.
Yeah.
In Gillette, he can't play here. He cannot play here, especially when it's cold.
But the Patriots have, and now I know this is going to kind of sound a little bit weird.
But I love weird. Let's get weird.
Three out of the last 4 years, the Patriots have played the Detroit Lions in the second or third preseason game. I know, right?
Okay.
What does that have to do with anything?
Sure. I'll bite.
Tom Brady has gotten fed his ass every time he's tried to line up against Detroit. And if the Patriots are going to get stomped in any game this season...
It's going to be the Detroit
game? It's going to be the Detroit
game. That's interesting. Not the Indy game.
No. And I think it's a pace for pace with the Indy game, but I think
that's going to be a good game to watch.
You know what? When you have a quarterback who excels, he's an unbelievable talent. He's
incredibly smart.
And he's not getting past. He's not smarter than Peyton Manning, and he's not smarter than Bill Belichick, and he's not getting past the Patriots defense that day.
All right.
Now he might put up again, just like Tom, like Peyton Manning,
a few touchdowns, 350 yards.
He'll do his thing, but then Colts defense can't hold back Tom Brady.
Well, not the way they're playing right now.
No, exactly.
No, very few teams can, which is why I expect the Patriots to go on a run, and I believe that they're going to finish it third. I think they only get one loss the rest of the year.
If the Patriots do have another loss in the rest
of the
year,
13-3.
It's
against the Dolphins in December.
It's against Detroit coming right up.
I don't think that.
And even if the Dolphins sweep it and they finish 12-4, that's fine.
Freaking fantastic.
But you're looking at this is a team that. Yes, Bill Belichick can probably figure out, Matthew Stafford can probably figure out, Reggie Bush, whatever.
But again, at the end of the day, like I think we both said, is if the road to the Super Bowl is through New England, it's going to be
the Patriots
tough road.
Are going back.
Yeah, Patriots are going to the Super
sixth.
Bowl.
Yeah,
yeah, and their fourth AFC Championship game in a row.
Eight. No, that would be nine total.
Nine.
Yeah, nine. So half of the seasons that Tom Brady's been a quarterback in the NFL. He's gone to the AFC Championship game.
Crazy.
Half of his NFL seasons. So, given that, talk to me about the picks this
week. Yeah, let's get into our picks. So, why don't you... I'll figure out this cheap ticket game this time.
All right,
I'll figure it out. I don't need you.
All right. You got the list?
I don't need you. I got the list. I'll read off the list this time. All right. So, Chiefs at Bills. We talked about this one. This is going to be a telling game.
Dude, I got the Chiefs.
You got the Chiefs going to Buffalo.
I got the Chiefs going to Buffalo.
Last time I picked against Buffalo, they burned me.
Mm.
I'm going to take the Bills.
Okay, man. I like that. Right. I just think the Chiefs have... And you know what? That's such a push game.
It definitely is a push game, one I could really care about. But it's going to be interesting to see who comes out of that game.
Yeah, it is.
Dolphins at Lions.
I know you got the Dolphins already.
I definitely have the Dolphins, and that's not, again... That's not my fandom. I actually believe that they're going to beat the Lions.
This is going to tell you everything you need to know about the Lions. Not about
tell you everything you need to know about the Dolphins,
no,
I think.
No, because if the Dolphins lose this game by a touchdown.
Okay.
What is
all
it?
Right.
You know,
yeah,
you don't
yeah,
know
it's
anything.
Just another loss.
It's just a loss.
Yeah, it's just another right. loss. But if Detroit loses.
If Detroit loses, geez, then
that's trouble.
They got problems.
What are you picking?
I'm going to have to go Detroit.
All right. I like it. All right, Cowboys at Jaguars.
At London.
At London, so that's not going to be my cheap ticket of the game, I'll tell you
definitely
that.
Definitely not. But I'm going to have to go with the Cowboys, I think.
Yeah,
no
Eric
what.
And Ted are both going to go with the Cowboys this week.
That's your social pick of the week.
Yep, social pick of the week is going to be the Cowboys. Now, We got 49ers, the much maligned 49ers, traveling to the Saints.
This is such a huge game for them.
It's a huge game for the Niners. They can't lose, but they are going to lose.
I'm with you on that. All yeah, right. I think the Saints are starting to put it together.
Social. We should drink at the end of every show for every game.
Everyone we pick.
Yeah, they, together. Yeah, right. We have to freaking down a shot of Jaeger.
Instead of doing a... Yeah, right.
Like the nasty shit.
And then, of course, we have to order new microphones after I vomit on it. So.
Peppermint schnapps.
Jaeger's the villain. Jaeger's the villain.
All right, Titans at Ravens, my friend. Who you got?
I got to go with the Ravens, unfortunately.
I hate the Ravens, I know. Man.
Social pick.
All right, social. All right, Steelers at Jets. Are the Jets going to break this losing streak?
No, stop it.
Yeah. Are they going to break this losing streak? Are they going to break the losing streak?
Big Ben throws for 4 touchdowns, break the 3-game record. I got the Steelers.
I hope so, buddy, because I need him this week. Mm-hmm. So that's another social pick. This is getting boring now.
Social.
Falcons at Buccaneers, another who gives a shit game.
That is the...
And I'm going to go who gives a shit, so I'm just going to take the home team and the Buccaneers.
Yeah, me too. What the... Right. Oh, no, you know what?
Just, yeah, I'll come on, be different. There
I'll
we
take
go.
The Falcons just for that.
Because they can win. I mean, shit, it's the Buccaneers.
All right.
They both suck.
Okay.
Broncos at Raiders. Oh, mm-hmm. God. That's social. A sleeper. Yeah, I mean, I think the Broncos had a kind of a easy go of it, mm-hmm. you know, the yeah. next few weeks. So, all right, Rams at Cardinals. I think we've already said that was going to be a walk against the Rams.
Yeah, I think so.
So, again, this is becoming incredibly boring. I'm going to have to just fake a pick just to mix this up. Giants at Seahawks.
At Seahawks. Damn social pick again. Like, it's just... How do I
think
pick
we
the Giants?
I think literally the rest of the games are going to be social picks. Bears at Packers.
Social Packers.
Yeah, I got Packers.
I got a social pick on this one.
God damn it. And Eagles at home against the Panthers.
And the Eagles are so for real.
I'm taking the Panthers.
Going back to
I can't do okay, it. Fine, I can't. I got to take the Panthers.
No, it's okay. You know, that'd be great if they won it. Because it would be great.
You're taking
for me.
The Eagles?
I got to.
All right, good.
Like, well, because I have been.
Well, if you're picking the Panthers, I'm picking the Eagles. So.
Yeah. So.
All right, we're not going to agree on the Monday game. Just out of principle. So, as wow. that being said, I think we've talked a lot of football. Hopefully entertained a few of you along the way.
And we're really happy that you join us here on
Definitely.
Eric and Ted's Ice Cream Social.
I'm Eric, and he's Ted.
And we will see you on Wednesday.
Oh, well, I thought he was going to say, don't forget. You played me out.
I did. Let's go,
played me
out with
piano.
Eric, you called for this one early, so
yeah,
I want you to hit it.
Entertainment, because this is what we do.
Don't forget to hit us up on Twitter, at Eric and Ted ICS.
and our website, ericandted.com.
Facebook.com/Eric and Ted.
And go to iTunes and listen to us there. Search Eric and Ted's Ice Cream Social.